Welcome to the Fightful Select Weekender Podcast. Today is Sunday, August 2nd, 2020. I'm Steven Jensen. Hope everybody had a great week. Gonna go through a list of topics for today's episode, then we'll jump right into it. So in this edition of the Weekender, we have results for Talkin' Shoppa Mania, Impact Wrestling, 205 Live, IWA Mid-South. I have a recap of the latest Being the Elite episode titled You Asking Us Out for a Beer, and I've also got my recommended show on independentwrestling.tv, as well as my recommended free match available on YouTube. So without any further ado, let's just jump right into it. So my recommended show this week on IWTV is Beyond Wrestling's 2 Weeks Notice. So the company is called Beyond Wrestling. The show is called 2 Weeks Notice. This show took place on Monday, July 27th of this year, so just a few days ago. And these are the matches to expect if you want to check it out. We had Alley Cat versus Max Caster, Bear Country, the team of Bear Boulder and Bear Bronson, taking on Injustice, the team of Jordan Oliver and Myron Reed. We had Wheeler Yuta versus Lee Moriarty. I believe I have nailed his name at this point. Lee Moriarty. If you want to get a full explanation of my troubles saying his name over the past, you know, few months, I go in detail last week about that. Without really diving into it, I think I've got his name finally nailed down at this point, Lee Moriarty. And the guy is fantastic, by the way. I really, really enjoyed this match between Wheeler Yuta and Lee Moriarty. Both guys have really bright futures. I've seen more of Yuta over the last few years, but I'm seeing more and more of Moriarty lately. And he's a guy, I mean, I really, really think he's got a really bright future. And Yuta is somebody that I think we might start seeing in some major promotion soon. Like, he's somebody that I could totally see popping up on Impact or AEW, maybe even something with NXT. I mean, he's just very, very solid. And he did great work at Dojo Pro, which is available on, I think it's still available on Amazon Prime. Probably a lot, it's probably available all over the internet at this point. But if you check that show out, or that series rather, I'm in every episode of that in the crowd. And Wheeler Yuta is somebody that I gained a lot of respect for and a lot of knowledge about throughout that process of watching him on that show. And Moriarty is just he's just the kind of guy who you're just going to hear more and more about. Super athletic, super talented, a very bright future for both of these guys, in my opinion. We had Sanchez, also known as Pinky Sanchez, taking on Willow Nightingale. We had Christian Casanova versus Blake Christian. Really good match here, Christian versus Christian, if you will. And another guy, Blake Christian, he's somebody that I think has a super bright future as well. He can do some really amazing stuff. He's young. I'm a very big fan of Blake Christian. He's a guy that I think is going to shoot up the ranks of the indies very quickly here soon. I really see big things for Blake Christian in the near future. We had Chris Dickinson, Tony Deppen, and Nick Gage taking on Manders, Matthew Justice, and Mance Warner in a six-man. And this match was crazy. So much talent in this one. I mean, Dickinson, I consider to be at the tip-top of the independents right now. There's a handful of guys I talk about all the time that I think are TV-ready. People that I think are really just one call away from, you know, a big chance in a major promotion. Warhorse is in that category. He's a guy I've been talking about for a while now. And we've recently seen him get a shot in AEW. And there are some guys in this match that I think are right there as well. I think Chris Dickinson's right there. I think Tony Deppen is very close to being there, if not there already. He's super, super solid at what he does. You have Nick Gage, who I think his chances are going to be a little more limited because of his history, like legally and stuff. But I mean, as a talent, he's somebody that gets over everywhere he goes. So, I mean, Nick Gage is basically the king of the indies as far as I'm concerned. And then you had Manders, who I think is just a couple steps away from that top tier, but rising very, very quickly. I mean, Manders is getting better everywhere he goes. The more experience he gets, I mean, he's going to be a big-time player. I just think he's just not quite there just yet, but he's getting there for sure. But then two other guys in this match, Matthew Justice and Mance Warner, I have in that category as well. Both guys are ready to go. I actually think Mance Warner is, he's who I would choose personally as the next indie guy to get a shot at that AEW championship again, or the AEW TNT title against Cody. Like, if I had my pick right now, this isn't anything against anyone else. It's just, if I had my pick right now of, like, who's available and who do I think is the best option to take on Cody next from the independents, I'd have Mance Warner. I actually answered that question on Twitter recently as well. I think that Mance Warner, he's ready, and he's going to become a major player in one of these promotions very soon, I feel. But yeah, a lot of talent in this match. Once again, we had Dickinson, Deppen, and Gage versus Manders, Matthew Justice, and Mance Warner. So yeah, talent stacked there. And speaking of Warhorse, in the main event of this show, we had Warhorse defending the IWTV Championship against Ricky Shane Page. Ricky Shane Page, of course, also known as RSP, he's the current GCW champion. This match was just two or three days, I guess, before Warhorse taking on Cody for the TNT title, which I just talked about. So there was a lot of thought in my mind that Warhorse might be dropping the title to RSP so that Warhorse could potentially be getting signed to AEW. But that is not what happened. What happened was Warhorse actually retained the title, but it was because of disqualification, which I've just spoiled the finish there. But to be fair, the finish was already kind of spoiled if you've been paying attention to AEW as well, because they mentioned him as the IWTV champion many times during that. So kind of spoiled it. I apologize for the main event, but at the same time, if you've been paying attention to the indie scene or AEW, you would know the outcome of that match anyways. And then RSP also had another match later that night for GCW. So if you've been following that as well. So anyways, so Warhorse and RSP in the main event. And whether Warhorse gets signed by AEW or not, he definitely upped his value big time. Because I know so many people that had no idea who Warhorse was going into that title match against Cody. And now so many people know who he is. And I think that that's great. And we also saw Eddie Kingston just got signed to AEW officially the other day, which is huge. And I'm very happy for Kingston. He's a guy who deserves it. He's been around forever, and he's had a little bit of mainstream exposure, you know, through like Impact Wrestling and the National Wrestling Alliance and stuff like that. But this is, in my opinion, the biggest opportunity of his career, of his very long, you know, illustrious, mainly independent career. It's really cool, and it's really promising to see, like, if Kingston can get there right now, like, with, you know, his following, and then you see the power of Warhorse's following, you know, even getting that match on TNT against Cody. I mean, the power of the voice of independent wrestling fans right now is the strongest it's ever been. And yeah, really, really cool stuff. And there's a lot of other great talent on this show that I didn't dive deep into. You know, Alley Cat, for instance, is one of my favorite female wrestlers in the world right now. I'm very big fan of hers. And, you know, Myron Reed is somebody who was on the show as well, who has a ton of upside. He's done great work in Glory Pro Wrestling, a former world champion for that promotion, and somebody who hasn't even started scratching the surface of how good he's going to be. But he's going to shoot up the ranks fast as well. What some of these guys I feel like you're kind of waiting on is, as with kind of anything, you know, time. The timing matters a lot, and the availability. Because I've been saying it for a little while now, but I feel like there's going to be a crop of independent talent that we're going to lose pretty soon to major promotions. It happened during kind of the first wave of AEW starting. They got a good amount of the top indie talent when they started that promotion. And I think, that that's going to happen again soon. And whether it's AEW, Impact, NXT, WWE, New Japan, Ring of Honor, whatever it is, I think that we're going to start seeing more and more of these people getting signed to these companies. Pretty much the whole match of that six-man is a perfect example, as well as the main event. It would not surprise me to see, I mean, aside from Gage and Manders, like, just right now, I could see Dickinson, Deppen, Justice, and Warner all going. I could see Alley Cat getting signed. I could see Myron Reed getting signed in the not-too-distant future, as well as Blake Christian, possibly even Wheeler Yuta. I mean, like I said before, Lee Moriarty, he's very close to getting. I mean, he just needs more time. You have Warhorse. So once more and more of these people are no longer available for the indies, that's when you're going to really see some of these other names really rise up. Like Myron Reed being a perfect example of that. So, you know, I think the independents are in a really good spot right now, and this is a great show to feature some current indie talent. So once again, my recommended show this week is Beyond Wrestling's 2 Weeks Notice, and it's available right now on IWTV. Also have a free match that you can check out on YouTube, courtesy of Ring of Honor. If you go on their YouTube channel right now, just a couple days ago, they uploaded a awesome match, a four-corner survival match between AJ Styles, Samoa Joe, Chris Sabin, and Jay Briscoe. It was from Beating the Odds in 2003. I chose this, like I said, because it's an awesome match with a lot of awesome talent, but on top of that, Ring of Honor still doesn't have much new content for me to talk about, so it's cool to just go back and watch some of these throwback matches from the earlier days of the promotion, because while watching this, you know, you have AJ Styles, who at the time was killing it in TNA, the face of the company in TNA wrestling, and this was not long into the, you know, the beginning of the company existing. You had Samoa Joe, who I can't remember when in the timeline this all happened, but I don't think he was probably a couple years off from joining TNA, I would think. And I can't remember if he had started his title reign yet, but he, of course, would have that legendary title run with the ROH title. You have Chris Sabin, who eventually became the TNA champion, as did, of course, AJ Styles and Samoa Joe. But of course, Chris Sabin is the current Impact Wrestling Tag Team Champions, along with Alex Shelley. And Chris Sabin, you know, had a great career, still is. All these guys are still going, which is wild. This is in 2003. And then you have Jay Briscoe, who, you know, former Ring of Honor World Champion, somebody who is one of the foundations of that company, as far as I'm concerned, him and his brother. But, you know, the Briscoe brothers, from what I understand, they never got a shot in a major company. They've done some stuff in New Japan, but they never got a shot in a major company in the States. They might have done a little bit with Impact Wrestling, TNA, at some point. I think they did. But never really spotlighted for long-term and stuff, right? I think that has to do with, like, maybe some criminal history or some sort of legal issues from years ago. And I'm not sure about that. That's just kind of what I've heard. Because it just doesn't make any sense otherwise. They're such a great team. It doesn't make any sense why they wouldn't have gotten a chance in WWE or, you know, big chance in AEW or anything. I'm sure that they're signed to Ring of Honor, but, I mean, through all these years, right? Like, this match I'm talking about is in 2003. But that all being said, four, you know, fantastic performers, four guys that hadn't even really entered their prime yet at this point, but are still, all four of them are still wrestling and still going strong and still focal points of their companies. Like, AJ Styles is probably the best overall performer on the WWE main roster right now, or really just signed to the company at all. I mean, I think Adam Cole's way up there right now as well, but that's a little different with him being in NXT. And I still think AJ Styles is a better wrestler. I just like the overall presentation of Adam Cole. But AJ Styles, it's like his name, phenomenal. And he has been for all these years. But yeah, AJ Styles, current, current Intercontinental Champion, I believe, on SmackDown. I think he is still. I haven't been paying attention to the show too much. So yeah, still AJ Styles, still a big focal point of the show. Samoa Joe, I mean, I guess he's some, like, semi-retired, or at least at the moment. He's doing Raw commentary. So, you know, but obviously he can still go in the ring. Something's preventing him there. I don't know if he's just racked up too many injuries or, you know, just mixing it up. But he does a great job on commentary. So, I mean, Samoa Joe is still very much a big part of the you know, the world of wrestling for sure. Chris Sabin, like I mentioned, currently one half of the Impact Tag Team Champions. And Jay Briscoe, I mean, just always killing it, whether it's in singles competition or as a tag team wrestler with Ring of Honor, one of the most important performers in Ring of Honor history. So, yeah, once again, check this out. It's for free. It's on the Ring of Honor YouTube channel. And, yeah, check it out. All right, let's move on to some results. Gotta clear my throat real quick. Sorry about that. I've been getting some allergies or something this past week. All right, so we've got Talkin' Shopomania up first. This is going to be a hard one to read the results for, because this show is very, very goofy. It was marketed as the worst pay-per-view of all time, and obviously as a joke, but the whole show was a joke, but it was fun. Basically, I'm actually going to use the Cliff Notes here from Jeremy Lambert, courtesy of Fightful.com. I'm going to read more of his words because he did a pretty good job putting this together and explaining what was going on. So Gallows opens up the show talking about how the whole show was his idea. We get Rocky Romero's alarm going off in the middle of the promo. And basically, like, this whole thing is about, like, how fans should not be watching this show sober, basically. Carl Anderson perving on his hot Asian wife. yeah. I mean, there's just a whole bunch of comedy stuff. Teddy Long is there, which is pretty funny. Gallows and Anderson and Romero get no reaction for their entrance, which is funny. Yeah, I mean, there's a whole bunch of stuff. We get a video package with Sex Ferguson and Chad Too Bad. For those of you who don't know, Sex Ferguson is Gallows and Chad Too Bad is Anderson. There's going to be a boner yard match in the main event. They made sure to announce that. there's a social distancing battle royal that involves this guy Freight Train, who's this humongous out of shape dude. Best part of this match is when Stang shows up, S-T-A-N-G, Stang, and it's definitely Heath Slater, a.k.a. Heath Miller, a.k.a. Heath, whatever they're calling him now. Mike Bennett makes a run-in during this. Marie is a part of it as well. Brian Pillman Jr. is a part of this. Alex Kozlov shows up. I can't remember the last time I've seen Alex Kozlov. It's been a long time. He's smoking a cigarette and jumping around. Freight Train gets eliminated. It's crazy. Kozlov's bearded mother starts eliminating people like Freight Train, Pillman. Kozlov's bearded mother wins, but then out of nowhere, Chico El Luchador comes and hits a stunner and eliminates Kozlov's mom. So yeah, I mean, I know this is impossible to follow, but I'm committed to getting you these results. So officially, Chico El Luchador becomes the new Talkin' Shopomania champion by winning that battle royal. And we've seen Chico El Luchador, if y'all remember All In, the original, before it was even AEW show. It was Flip Gordon dressed up like Chico and then wound up winning and unmasking, if people remember. What else did we have as far as matches? There was a hardcore match, George North versus Stump Kowalski. It's just funny reading this, how Jeremy put it, because it says, winner, action figures, ? Rock and Roll Express is involved in this one. Brian Myers is playing with action figures. I mean, it's just impossible to be reading this and not laughing. I'm so sorry. What else do we have? Eventually, I mean, Swoggle Ryder had a match where basically it was Swoggle cosplaying as Zack Ryder because Zack Ryder couldn't, aka Matt Cardona, couldn't be there because of contractual reasons, which of course, you know, is because he signed with AEW. Chavo eventually wins the Talkin' Shop 24/7 title to become the new champion, it's like the 24/7 title, I should say. The Talkin' Shop Mania title was 24/7 rules. I mean, there's so much stuff that happened on the show in an hour and a half. We had Chavo come out and like had a stick horse that looked like Pepe, but he called it Pepe, which is just, it's just great that they went back to the stick horse, because I mean, I grew up on WCW, so it was good to see that. Enzo is there, so Enzo's in the house, He comes out and cuts a promo, opens it up by saying he forgot what he was going to say. But Enzo's there. And then we had the Boneyard match that involved, I mean, just a whole bunch of just wild, weird stuff. I mean, Johnny Swinger was there. There was an Ewok. eventually, Chad Too Bad won the match, and then a guy in a Jason mask type thing crawled out of the grave that Sex Ferguson was put in, and the ending said, "To be continued, maybe." So, yeah. I'm just going to move past that. I mean, it's funny, but it's just, I can't really dive too deep on something like that. And for those of you who didn't watch it, none of what I said made sense, probably. So let's move on to Impact Wrestling results. Started off with Eddie Edwards retaining the Impact World title against Trey. Good match. Both these guys are so solid. I just wish Eddie Edwards wasn't the champion. Eddie got the win with the Boston Knee Party. You know, like I said, solid match. You can always expect a solid match from Eddie Edwards. And Trey Miguel, or just Trey, is one of these guys who they could put the title on him right now and I'd be fine with it. But he's really good used in any role. He can be good in tag team matches, singles matches, multi-person matches, whatever it is. He's just solid. I just really wish that Eddie Edwards wasn't in this position because they have so much talent that has never had a chance. Whereas Eddie Edwards, of course, has, you know, he's a multiple-time Impact World Champion. They could really went with something new. But that all being said, Edwards, good match, good title defense, defeats Trey. After the match, Eric Young comes out and faces off with Eddie Edwards, which is interesting because they're obviously building towards Eric Young versus Rich Swann. But Eric Young versus Eddie Edwards is very interesting as well. And it actually would have been way more interesting to see Eric Young just win the five-way match at Slammiversary. Really, anyone but Eddie Edwards would have been a great choice. Ace Austin would have been the right choice, in my opinion, but I could talk about that all day. We get a whole Wrestle House segment. I'm not going to go over all that, considering I just went in detail through Talking Shop Mania. If you want to see Wrestle House, you can check it out. What else did we have? The next match we had Gianna Perrazzo defeat Kimberly. Solid match for what it was. Gianna Perrazzo gets the win with a Fujiwara armbar, which I'm great with, and Kimberly tapped out super fast, which I like as well. We see Jordan Grace come out with a sling, and she winds up tackling Deonna. So I'm definitely down for that rematch when it happens. I really, really enjoyed their match at Slammiversary, so I'm very much looking forward to them having a rematch. We have a vignette for Brian Myers, so I'm looking forward to him coming back. We get some stuff with Katie Forbes and RVD and all that kind of stuff. The only other match we had on the show was the main event, which was the Good Brothers defeating Reno Scum. The finish came by way of Magic Killer for the 1-2-3. After the match, Ace Austin comes out and distracts the Good Brothers, and then Madman Fulton gets into the ring, and they all brawl as the show finishes up. So they're clearly building towards Gallows and Anderson versus Fulton and Ace Austin, which I think will be really good. But in my opinion, I think Ace Austin should be should be heavily pushed. I think he should be the world champion. I don't see them beating the Good Brothers with the Good Brothers being so new to the company and such like a high profile signing. So I'm a bit torn on this whole scenario because, like I said, I think Ace Austin should get a big push. And I think, you know, they're in kind of a tough spot because I would like to see the Good Brothers come in, maybe knock off some teams. I mean, like Reno Scum is a great example, but that's not really high profile enough. So it all makes sense how they're booking this. But at the end of the day, one of these two teams will have to lose. And I guess if Madman Fulton takes the pinfall, I'm all right with that. But they got to keep Ace Austin looking as strong as possible, in my opinion. Moving on, we have just one match to give results for 205 Live. So this one match took up the whole show. It was a really good tag team match. Jaquin Wild and Raul Mendoza defeated Isaiah Swerve Scott and Tony Nese. The finish came when... So basically the move... I don't know if they have named this, but... basically what they do is Joaquin Wilde held up Tony Nese in a Russian leg sweep position on the feet, and then Mendoza came up and hit an enziguri as Wilde hit the I keep wanting to call it a white Russian leg sweep. I know that was that was Sandman with his kendo stick, but the Russian leg sweep. So it was a Russian leg sweep enziguri combo that got the win for the team of Wilde and Mendoza over the team of Swerve and Nese. And this is kind of the theme of 205 Live right now. It's basically Legado del Fantasma, of course, Escobar being the current cruiserweight champion. They're basically just on a power run right now on 205 Live. And I like it. All three guys are very talented, and it's something at least interesting going on in the show storyline-wise. So another solid episode of 205 Live. It's just short, and there's only one match. But if you got a little extra time, I mean, one thing I can always say about 205 Live, you know, it's like there's very rarely any stakes involved in the show. There's not a whole lot to get invested in. But if you want to watch just some solid professional wrestling, 205 Live provides it. I mean, if you just want to see a good tag team match, got some time to kill, it's a good tag team match. So this is what it is. But that's all to talk about with 205 Live this week. Moving on, I've got results for IWA Mid-South. They had a two-night show. It was called King of Death Matches. I'm going to give you the results for night one, followed by night two. So night one, we had Jake Crist defeat Ace Perry and Kevin Giza to win the IWA Mid-South Heavyweight Championship. And then, yeah, so all these have different stipulations, so I'll read those out and then the winners of each of these matches. So first round, when I say first round going forward, these are all, of course, King of the Death matches for this tournament. So first round, Barbed Wire Madness Stairway to Hell match. Ricky Shane Page defeats J.C. Rotten. First round, Barefoot Bad Landing Death Match. Dale Patricks defeats Josh Crane. In a first round Desert Storm Taipei death match, Jeff King defeats Eddie Only. In a first round Fans Bring the Weapons match, Schlack defeats Casanova Valentine. In a first round Death from Above match, Arrow Boy defeats Tristan Ramsey. In a first round World Series of Electrified Light Tubes match, Orion Vaitit defeats Jimmy Lloyd. In a first round Glass Galore Texas Death Match, Eric Ryan defeats BC Killer. And in a first round No Rope Barbed Wire Caribbean Spiderweb Double Hell Death Match. It's a mouthful of a stipulation there. We had John Wayne Murdoch defeating Shane Mercer. So that was the first night. By the way, deathmatch is really not my thing. I've just seen some clips here and there from this show. Hard for me to watch a lot of this kind of stuff, to be totally honest. I think that deathmatch wrestling has its place and definitely has its fan base. But I prefer to see elements of this used to a much smaller degree. Like, for instance, I really liked when Cody took the thumbtack bump, you know, against Eddie Kingston a couple weeks ago. And then also this past week when Darby Allin hit the thumbtacks on the bottom of the skateboard onto Ricky Starks. You know, I think that kind of stuff kind of adds a different element, but it doesn't need to be overdone. But then again, I'm not going to sit here and, like, knock this either. I know there's a lot of people who are fans of this, and that's why I'm giving the results for this stuff as well, because I know there are people who enjoy it. So once again, I'm not sitting here knocking it. It just really isn't my cup of tea. As far as night two is concerned, we had Shane Mercer defeating Gary J. Josh Crane defeats Slade Porter. Jake Crist retains the IWA Mid-South Heavyweight Championship over Lincoln Mosley. In a no-holds-barred match, Aaron Williams defeated Chris Dickinson. And then we have more tournament matches. So in the quarterfinals, it's a quarterfinal construction death match. Schlack defeats RSP. In a quarterfinal medieval death match, John Wayne Murdoch defeats Jimmy Lloyd. In a quarterfinal Pans of Glass match, Eric Ryan defeats Jeff King. In a quarterfinal high-impact tables deathmatch, Dale Patricks defeats Araboy. In a semifinal glass castle deathmatch, Eric Ryan defeats John Wayne Murdoch. In a semifinal carnival deathmatch, Shellac defeats Dale Patricks. In a non-tournament fans bring the weapons match, we had Tristan Ramsey defeat BC Killer and Casanova Valentine and Eddie Only. And in the main event, which is the final of the King of Deathmatches 2020, we have a barbed wire cage House of Horrors match where Eric Ryan defeats Shellac. So Eric Ryan is your 2020 King of Deathmatch champion for IWA Mid-South. So those are the results there. And lastly, I've got some Being the Elite recaps for you. So this was the newest episode of BTE. It's available on YouTube right now, and it's called You Asking Us Out for a Beer. So it starts off with Best Friends and Orange Cassidy. They are brainstorming on a whiteboard how to kill Brandon Cutler. On the whiteboard, I'm going to read you out all the stuff they have written on here because it's just so funny. So the top of the whiteboard says, how to kill Brandon in big letters, and like how is crossed off, and it says ways underneath, and murder is in place of kill. So it's funny because it says how to kill Brandon or ways to murder Brandon. So there's a lot of stuff that's like X'd out and erased on this page. But some of the stuff here, like some of the ways that they have listed on this board are just pretty hilarious. Like it says knife, plastic or metal, polio, and where to get polio, like is like the question is like where to find it, physiological torture ? Wolf and or wolves, Game of Thrones gold on head, quicksand, car ride with MJF, dip in gold, put him in gold but it's hot, time travel and kill his grandfather or regular father, I think is what that says. So yeah, go back in time and kill his grandfather and his dad. So that ghosts or goats, stabbing, says C number one, which is the knife option, alien, autoerotic asphyxiation, but we do it, anvil / cliff. But my personal favorite, there's one that just says Zeke the Plumber, and no one's going to get that reference unless you grew up in the 1990s, but that is a reference from the show Salute Your Shorts, which was a show on Nickelodeon that didn't last for very long. It was about a bunch of kids at summer camp. It was one of my favorite shows ever. I love Salute Your Shorts. So when I saw Zeke the Plumber on the list, I immediately popped for that because I love that. It's very relatable to me. These best friends, you know, Chuck, Trent, and OC, they're very relatable to me and probably a lot of people from my generation. And to see Zeke the Plumber on that list, I thought that was hilarious. So basically, Brandon Cutler walks in with the camera and he sees this big list that I've just read out to you on this big whiteboard. And best friends are like, oh no, it's about a different Brandon. But Cutler's like, no, I'm the only Brandon on the AEW roster. And then Chuck's like, no, let me, and he like erases Brandon's name, then rewrites Brandon anyways. Chuck yells out smoke bomb, and Chuck and Trent run away. Orange Cassidy ducks and covers like you would when you were like in elementary school and like, you know, you did like earthquake drills where you gotta like, get on the ground and cover your head and ball up. OC just does that, which is funny. Then something else that's really funny, the unsung MVP of Being the Elite these past few weeks has been John Silver of the Dark Order, also known as, you know, the Beaver Boys on the Independence. Silver is hilarious. I loved his stuff. He used to do have a feud with Orange Cassidy on the Indies, which was hilarious. But Silver is so funny, and it just shows him quickly just covered in papers, and he has some of the papers shoved in his mouth. And this is a callback to last week's episode when, at the very end, he was left alone in a room, like the whole rest of the Dark Order bailed on him and left him in a room alone with Brody Lee, and Brody had a bunch of papers, and you could tell he was just about to get it. And And so Silver obviously just got covered in papers that, right after the show cut off last week. After that, we get another Spanglish segment, which I just am not into these Spanglish segments at all. The word this week is Tiki Tiki. Jake Hager uses it in kind of like a derogatory way, like, like the cat call a woman basically with. Hager's wife calls. And then the woman that's involved in these skits, I cannot think of her name off the top of my head. She comes out and basically like drags Hager away by his ear. I'm just not a fan of these segments at all, but I will say there's been some people in my live chats. Me and Jesse Davin do live wrestling chats a couple times a week, and somebody in the chat, recently did say they really enjoy the Spanglish series, mainly because they're in an area that most of the people speak Spanglish, Spanish and English, so they enjoy it. So maybe that's just where I'm coming from. I just don't find them to be funny. That's just all it is. After that, we had Michael Nakazawa stopping Colt Cabana from messing with Kenny Omega. Colt thinks he understood English because Nakazawa, like, he's trying to talk to Nakazawa in Japanese, and then Nakazawa's like, you don't need, like, I understand English. And Colt thinks that when he hears Nak talking English, that he's understanding Japanese, which was pretty funny. Nakazawa tells Colt that Kenny is going to fuck him up, so Colt does not want to mess with Kenny right now. And then Nak winds up going into the room with Kenny, and Kenny's like, I thought I heard you talking to someone, and Nakazawa just plays it off, covers for Colt. After that, we see Peter Avalon arguing with Brandon Cutler. Avalon says he wants to win by, quote, any means necessary. Cutler says that he wants to, win clean, because when they finally get a win, it's going to mean something big. Avalon says he'll think about it, and Cutler says they'll see each other next week. After that, we see Big Money Matt, aka Matt Hardy. He finally sells Kaz some water from the Lake of Reincarnation for $500. Leading up to this, he had been giving him like $300, $400. Matt Hardy kept tricking him and giving him bottles of vodka up until the actual $500 was paid. And then Kaz is cured, so he's back to normal. And it was really funny hearing him yell, I'm back, fuck yeah, as he was like running out of the room. Pretty funny. Matt Hardy is talking backstage to Private Party. He tells Private Party that they need to get a win by any means necessary, which I thought was interesting because it was the same exact term used by Avalon earlier in the show. Private Party wind up roasting the lighting guy because they say it looks like Matt Jackson, but there's no way it could be him, and this just leads to another one of those I'm dead ass things where Private Party gets all scared. Another one of the segments, similar to the Spanglish stuff, just not funny. I'm just not into the whole dead ass Private Party thing. I think so. Like, it's this, and it's also the $12 thing that went on for way too long, week after week, and being the Elite. There's just something about Private Party I just find them to be very annoying. They're really, really good in the ring. Like, I love watching their matches. There's just something about it. I just think they're really, really cheesy. And it's like, I know they're trying to be, but it just isn't entertaining. That's the problem. Once again, in the ring, I'll take them all day. Like, I hope they have a match on every week of AEW programming. Like, I love watching them wrestle. But they need to figure out something about their characters, because it's just really, really, really overly cheesy to me. After that, we see Matt Jackson on his phone, and while he has his phone up to his ear, you can see his Google search history. The things that he's been searching say, why did the Good Brothers screw me? Has Canada been destroyed enough? Which is funny, because that's a big it's a big nod to, how many people overuse the Canadian Destroyer. So why don't old people like dives? My forehead looks like New Jack's. Which is funny, because obviously he's been blading a lot on being the Elite. Then he had one that says, who GAF about Four Horsemen? GAF is gives a fuck. So that's really interesting there. Who gives a fuck about the Four Horsemen? He was searching that. So very interesting, because in my opinion, I think there's going to be a Four Horsemen version in AEW. I don't know if they're going to call it the Four Horsemen, but I think there's going to be a group that's very based off of that group. And I think the four are going to be Cody, FTR, and Hangman Page. Now, there's a few others that they could throw in there in Hangman's place. I think Hangman would be the best fit. But I think Cody and FTR for sure are going to be a part of that group. And like I said, I'd really like to see Hangman in there as well. Basically, while Matt's on the phone, he finds out through whoever he's talking to that AEW still isn't doing good enough in the 50-plus demo. They're barely losing out to WWE still in that one demo. He says he doesn't know what else other to try than what he's about to do, and he winds up doing a Bob Ross-style pastel drawing, which actually turned out to be pretty good. I don't know if it was actually him drawing or not. I think it was. I thought it turned out pretty good, to be honest. And I love Bob Ross. That's one of my favorite shows, is especially at night, just to kind of unwind and relax. I really enjoy watching Bob Ross. So I really like the segment. After that, we get a lot of stuff from Dark Order, and I think Dark Order is just great. I love where this stable has wound up. I mean, back when AEW was starting, the Dark Order was heavily scrutinized, like myself included. Nobody understood what was going on. Nobody got the storyline. We didn't like it. You could tell that Evil Uno and Stu Grayson were very good together in the ring. They're a great tag team. They have some of the best tag team arsenals as far as like double team moves of any team in the world right now. But now they're at a point where like they've listened to the fans. They pivoted. And where they're at right now at the Dark Order, I think they're one of the most entertaining things about all of AEW at this point, which is great. So Brody Lee is in the room with six members of the Dark Order. He says there's been three tremendous wrestlers of Dark Order, and he points at 5, 10, and Stu Grayson. Then he says, and then the other fucking idiots, and he starts talking to Reynolds, Silver, and Evil Uno. And then he says, he says that Silver and Reynolds are the worst two he's ever seen at any job ever. And then brings up how they lost out on getting Hangman Page and how they thought they had Jungle Boy. Lee starts talking to Evil Uno, talking about how Evil Uno is responsible for Silver and Reynolds, and Silver is corpsing big time during this, which is so funny. For those of you who don't know the wrestling terms, Silver is just laughing. He's like, he can't contain himself. He's laughing during this. He's breaking character. Like he's just laughing. It's really funny. Griff Garrison comes into the room. Silver and Reynolds kick Griff Garrison out of the room. And while they kick him out, Brody Lee says that was the first competent thing that the two of them have ever done. Lee's like, all right, where are the papers? Let me find some papers. And Evil Uno, Silver, and Reynolds start trying to hide all the papers. And then Grayson hands Lee a big stack of papers, which I thought was funny. Evil Uno puts on a football helmet, and Brody Lee throws the stack of papers, and it bounces off of the helmet. And Uno's like, yes, it worked, I can't believe it. So Brody Lee makes Silver pick the papers up off the ground, tells Uno to take the helmet off, and then he pelts Uno in the head with the stack of papers. Lee asks everyone in the room if there's anyone who has any more questions. So Silver raises his hand, and he does it the way that they do the Dark Order sign, where like his palm's kind of, you know, in and his fingers are out. And and Brody's like, are you meaning to do that as the Dark Order sign, or do you actually have a question? So Silver's like, I have a question. And he asked, who the fuck is Griff Garrison? And it just sets Brody Lee over the edge, and he just yells and just leaves the room. Just hilarious stuff. Hilarious stuff. I love what Dark Order's doing right now. Thoroughly entertained. And then at the end of the show, we had Hangman Page. He introduces Brandon Cutler to FTR, because Cutler is holding the camera, and of course he mentions he has two contracts. Hangman thanks FTR for saving him from the beatdown on Dynamite, and Hangman asks if FTR wants to get a drink with him, and then they're like, sure, let's go. So FTR and Hangman are going. Hangman tells Cutler to stay back and to not tell the Young Bucks that he's going out for a drink with FTR, and that's it. So a lot of really good stuff going on in Being the Elite right now, and once again, that was the episode titled You Asking Us Out for a Beer, and it's available right now on YouTube. That's going to do it for this episode of the Fightful Select Weekender Podcast. I've been Steven Jensen. Make sure to shoot me a follow on Twitter at @FightTalk_. That's FIGHTTALK_. Until next weekend, enjoy some professional wrestling.